Good morning. A hearty welcome to each one of you again to, as we have the opportunity to look into God's Word. A few verses out of Psalm chapter 63, it says, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee, my soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. And my prayer this morning is that our souls would hunger again for the Word of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, we want to thank you that we have the privilege, the opportunity to gather together as believers in your house to worship you. And Father, we just pray that you again would strengthen each one of our pastors in the churches, Lord, that as they share your word, Lord, that you would empower them, that you would give them boldness, that you would give each one of them a clear mind as the power of your Holy Spirit speaks through and in them. Father, we pray that you would bless each one. Be with those that have a part in this morning's service, Lord, that you again would just grant them the peace and the strength that they need. We thank you for being in our presence. In Jesus' name, amen. As we go about our daily lives, we hear words like, did you receive my text? Did you get my email? Or did you get my message that I sent to you? And there's many ways that those messages are sent, be it through Facebook or WhatsApp or Instagram or Twitter, whatever it may be. And we live in an information age where those messages are constantly being sent back and forth very, very quickly and in a variety of different ways. And it seems that nowadays that it is so difficult to be the first person to tell someone something because by the time it hits social media, everybody knows about it. But do you ever think about the messages that you may have missed? And what the result of a missed message is? Where it could be confusion of where to meet. Maybe the loss of a business deal. Or just a great opportunity that has been totally passed by. But have you ever thought about a missed message from God? God speaking and you're not listening. And we know that God, he speaks in various ways. Be it through his word, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through nature. And I ask you this morning, have you missed God speaking to you? Are you avoiding him? Or trying to tune him out as he's trying to get your attention. Maybe you're living in sin and he wants you to repent. Or maybe you're a believer and you're dealing with a sinful habit and something that you think you cannot get rid of. And God is saying, leave it to me. Friends, I think the worst message that you can miss is a message from God. A missed message from God is also a missed blessing. You know, and God is constantly giving his people all kinds of messages. And do you know what these messages are? They're instructions. They are revelations to equip us, to encourage us, to do His will and to walk in His ways. And this morning, my focus is on Exodus chapter 3. If you have your Bibles, Exodus chapter 3. Very familiar portion of Scripture. It says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will not turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land, unto a land of large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Now come therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto him, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you, and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt, unto the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and thy elders of Israel, and of the king of Egypt, and you shall say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews has met with us, and now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand, and will smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when you go, ye shall not go empty. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house, jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment. And you shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and you shall spoil the Egyptians. May God bless the reading of his word. Note in our text we read a story of Moses and the burning bush, and it's a story with a message. And it's a message from God to Moses. And it's a message that Moses does not miss. And what we see is that Moses, he led the flock to the back of the desert, and he comes to Horeb, which is called the mountain of God. And I'm sure you and I were sitting here this morning and we're thinking of a desert. And we think hot and dry. And here's Moses, he's watching over his father-in-law's sheep at this place. Horeb is another name for Mount Sinai, which means desolate or abandoned or deserted. Now it makes you wonder what was going through the mind of Moses as he's all alone and he's tending to these sheep. There's a few things that we have to remember. Moses, he's run away after he's killed an Egyptian, and now he's in this foreign land, and he's married, and he has a son. And before Moses was a shepherd in the backside of this desert, he was a little boy, and he was raised in Pharaoh's palace by Pharaoh's daughter. And we know that Pharaoh, he commanded all the male children to be cast into the river, and Moses was one of them. But we read that Moses, he was placed along the riverbank in the reeds. And it was Pharaoh's daughter that took him to be his own son. But before Pharaoh's daughter had taken him, it says that she had given him to his mother for 3 months, where he was cared for. And as Moses was being raised by Pharaoh's daughter, it says in Acts chapter 7 that he was educated in all wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was powerful in speech and in action. And as Moses is grown up, he goes out and he sees that his brethren are wrestling. They're fighting. And he's seeing one Egyptian beating one of his Hebrew brethren. And as he goes out there, he looks around to make sure that nobody's looking. And he goes over there and he kills the Egyptian and he buries him. And the second day, he goes out and he sees two Hebrew men that are fighting. And he goes up to them and he asks them, who has done wrong? And he's shocked by the response. Because they asked him, who has made you prince to judge over us? It was something that Moses wasn't expecting, because he was positive that nobody was watching him. But we see that Moses, he runs. He runs after he's killed the Egyptian. And he runs to the land of Midian, and he sits there by a well. And he sees these women come to get water for their father's flock. And Moses, he helps them. And he's invited into their home. And he moves in. He receives a daughter. And he has a child with her. And he's now working for his father-in-law. But imagine how he went from being in a palace to taking care of sheep in the backside of a desert. Now, the interesting thing is that at one time he was in Pharaoh's palace, and I'm sure he was living like a king. But now we see that he's in the desert and he's taking care of sheep. In verse 2, we read that all of a sudden there's this bush that has a flame in the middle of it. And Moses, he sees that and he's drawn to it. And I'm sure he's thinking that this is something weird. This bush is on fire, but it's not being consumed. And Moses, he says, I have to go and see this great sight. Why the bush isn't burning. Now, I'm sure that would get each one of ours attention. And when the Lord saw that Moses had turned to see this great sight, God, he calls out from this bush and he says, Moses, Moses. And Moses says, here I am. Moses, he doesn't run. It doesn't seem like that he's scared, nor does he fall down. But it says, or he says, here I am. Can you imagine you're staring at this bush and you hear your name being called? And yet you see no one. And I'm sure all of us, we would be looking around to see if we could see anyone. It's interesting because all that Moses says is, here I am. Now it makes me wonder if Moses gave it any thought, if there would be consequences for him for killing that Egyptian. As he stays there and he checks out this burning bush that isn't being consumed. And hearing God call his name. But you know what we see? We see Moses with openness. And a willingness to stay there and listen to what God is going to tell him. Because God, he can take that insignificant bush, ignite it, and turn it into a miracle. And that is exactly what he wants to do with Moses. God wants to use Moses in ways that he never thought nor imagined. Some see in the burning bush a picture of the nation Israel. They're God's light in the world. They're persecuted, but they're not consumed. And yet the burning bush is also a picture of what God had planned for Moses. That he was the weak bush, but God was the empowering fire. And with God's help, Moses would accomplish anything. Now, what if Moses would have taken some time to think about what was happening with that bush on fire, and it wasn't being consumed, and he's hearing his name being called? But it makes you wonder if the thought of running had come to his mind. We all know, or we should know, that you can run from God, but you can't hide from God. And I think to myself, as I put myself in Moses' shoes, what would I have done, or what would you have done? Well, maybe you yourself have heard God speak. Maybe you've been nudged by the Holy Spirit, and something has been laid heavily on your conscience. So what happened? Did God get your attention? And did you obey? Or did you ignore him and shrug it off? Or were you obedient and you confessed of your sin or your sinful habits that you're trying to get rid of? What were the consequences? But as Moses moves closer to the bush, the voice commands Moses to come no closer, and tells him to take off his sandals, for the place that he is standing is holy ground. And it's like God doesn't even give him any time to respond. And it continues on by saying in verse 6, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And at this, Moses, he hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Now you think about that for a moment, and you hear the voice of God speaking and identifying him as the God of your father, like it says in verse 6. And just before this, God, he tells Moses, the place that you're standing is holy ground. How would you react? And yet for Moses, I believe this was assurance and peace that this truly was God speaking. And Moses was in his presence. It was like God was assuring or promising Moses that his covenant with the fathers of Israel was still in effect. And yet the moment that Moses heard this, it says that he hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. All Moses could do was listen. God, it must have been quite the experience that Moses had just encountered. Him in this bush, and God speaking. So what does God say? Verses 7 to 10, basically what God is telling him is this. I am sending you to bring my people out of Egypt. Now what a task that the Lord told Moses to do. And God, he tells Moses even some more encouraging news. And that news is that he will deliver them up out of the hand of the Egyptians, and he will bring them up to the land flowing with milk and honey. And God had also assured Moses that he was the God of his fathers, and that he felt the suffering of the Jews in Egypt. And God, he says to Moses, you know what? Now it's time. Now it's time to deliver them out of Egypt and lead them into the promised land. And Moses, you're my leader. And as Moses hears all these things being said to him, I'm sure he's thinking and asking, why are you choosing me? And what God said to Moses must have astonished him. And I'm sure he's thinking, God, why have you chosen me, a failure, to do work like you mentioned? All that I am good for is tending sheep. And Moses does what almost every one of us would have done. Start looking for excuses. And he has many questions. Who am I to do that? What will I tell them? What if they do not listen to me? How will I do it? And God, he responds to Moses, and he says, all that you have to tell them is, I am has sent you. God made it clear to Moses what he was supposed to do. And what Moses thought of himself, or what others may have thought of Moses, was really not even important. Because God had spoken, and that was all that Moses needed for assurance. Because God called Moses for a purpose. So why was Moses looking at himself instead of looking by faith to the Lord? It was because of who he was. There's many people that feel inadequate for the work that God has called them to do, and Moses was no different. I will be with you is all the assurance that God gives to Moses. Even you and I, as God's servants, we receive the same assurance that Moses received in order to do what God wants us to do. Moses heard the words from God, I am, has sent you. And those are the same words that God has for each one of us. I am all that you need. I am your strength. I will be with you. But we also see in this portion of Scripture that Moses uses broken people. And God uses Moses to bring the people out of Egypt. We know when the Lord called his disciples, he used fishermen, he used tax collectors. God uses you and me in ways that we never thought. But aren't you glad that God loves us enough that he doesn't give up on us? And desires to use us as broken people to accomplish great things for God. He actually encourages us to come broken and he's going to mend us. And the truth is that if we don't come broken, he will have to break us first before he can use us. We read in Psalm 51, verse 17, it says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise." A broken spirit, willing to be used of God. Your God was ready to use Moses in ways that he wasn't going to understand. And when we think of Moses, especially in his early years of life, he had a different childhood upbringing. He was raised in this palace, in royalty, with these Egyptians. And yet he must have had different feelings about the people of Israel and the people of Egypt. And how upset he was that the Egyptian abused the Hebrew. And then the guilt that he had after he killed the Egyptian. And then we see him running from God because of what he had done. And now we see that he's tending sheep as God is calling out to him. And yet for Moses, this was just another day. But to God, he was going to do something extraordinary. And God was going to step in, because with God, there's no limits. And God doesn't have to warn us that he's going to show up, because we're told to be expecting and anticipating God to show up in our lives. And God, he uses our weakness and his strength to accomplish many things. Moses wasn't perfect, neither are you and I. And yet God is looking for broken people, people that will admit their weaknesses and will allow him to do things for him. And yet there's people that do not hear God because they're too busy. There's people that do not hear God because they're consumed in their sinful habits that they do not want to part with. They do not see the burning bush that God puts in front of them. But Moses' life didn't change until he stopped what he was doing. And he noticed that a bush was on fire and it wasn't burning. Two times God called out to Moses. And it was a way of showing that he loved and that he cared for Moses. This runaway, rebellious Moses was the very man that God wanted to talk to that day. And how his life was going to be changed. And we see that God uses different things in our lives to get our attention. God used a burning bush to get Moses' attention. He had to stop what he was doing and go over and see and hear what God was doing and what he was going to say. So I ask you this morning, do you and I need to come to that place? Or are we there right now? What does God have to do to get your attention? Have you seen that burning bush in your life? Or have you ignored it? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we know that you do many things in our lives. You work in many different ways. And Father, we pray that you would help us to be alert and to notice and to do and to follow and to be obedient what you want us to do. Father, we thank you for the burning bush in Moses' life and how you called him to do things that you wanted him to do and the obedience that Moses had. Father, we thank you that you work in and through our lives as well. And Father, we pray that we'd be awake, we'd be alert. Father, help us to recognize when you try getting our attention and when you speak. Be it through your word, be it through people, be it through nature. Father, we thank you that you care and that you love us. Father, we pray that as there may be somebody sitting here this morning and the bush is burning in front of them, Lord, we pray that they would see it. And Lord, that they would hear your voice and they would be obedient. Father, we too again bring Marlon before you, Lord. We pray that you would uphold him. Lord, we pray that you would give him much comfort. As they lay Helena to rest this afternoon. Father, we pray that you would be with his family. Lord, that you would draw near and that you would speak into their hearts. And that they would know, Lord, that you love and that you care for them. Father, we thank you for being in our midst here this morning. Thank you for speaking to hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Jesus, keep me near the cross, there a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, be my glory ever. Till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. The cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star sheds its beams around me. In the cross, be my glory ever. Till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring its seed. shadows o'er me. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross I'll watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever, till I reach the golden strands just beyond the river. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river.
I want to thank you for coming this morning, and may the word of God have spoken into your heart. Let us bow for the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. You're dismissed in the peace of the Lord.